Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The change of the season means more single people are coming out to enjoy the weather and to see what's happening on the dating scene. More people are out and about, and that means more chances to meet and greet. It also increases the chances that you could be rejected. So how do you handle that? And why do so many people handle it so poorly? Boy, do we have a doozy of a conversation tonight. I sit down with relationship experts to help us navigate these prickly questions and more. Carol Ann Trotman is a psychotherapist with Relationship Boosters, and Reggie Smith is a relationship coach. And you have questions. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You, of course, can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Carol Ann, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Reggie, good to see you again, man. It's been a minute.
It has been, Harold. It's good to be back, my man. It's
absolutely. So, Carol Ann, let me just start with you. Mm-hmm. Why is it that people these days just don't seem to be able to handle rejection? Is it the rejectee, the rejector? Is it how it's done? What say you?
I say people take things personally. Too personal for most things. And they probably are believing a little bit more about what these rejections mean. Like, they have meaning behind the rejection. Mm-hmm. So if you're believing something about this rejection and you don't actually see it as an opportunity for growth or to learn something about yourself, then you're going to take that personally and sit with whatever those negative thoughts are. Mm-hmm. And that just puts you in a particular space. But
you know, Reggie, it's always been, you know, one of my, you know, pet peeves that, you know, guys, and I have some sister friends who say that, you know, if a guy asks one of them out and they say no, thank you, or what have you, often his reaction is really visceral. It is extreme. They're calling, you know, calling women out of their names. You know, I don't seem to remember that happening when, you know, when I was in my, you know, 20s or 30s. But now it just seems that it is happening so much more. What's going on with guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that it is obviously a lack of maturity, mental and emotional. Perhaps they weren't taught certain things. And, you know, if they didn't have guidance, if they didn't have someone who said, hey, this is how you address someone, if they weren't taught courtesy, consideration and respect, then that's sadly what you get. And it's unfortunate because women, because I hear these same stories, and women are thinking that have shared with me, I'm sorry, that they must diffuse it in the moment so that it doesn't escalate into something that is unsafe for them.
But what is the best way, Carol Ann, to diffuse something? What is the best way to, for lack of a better term, reject someone that you were not particularly interested in? And I'm just talking about at first meeting. And how should you handle it if, as a woman, you are on the receiving end of some pretty tough stuff?
So, you know, that experience.
Tell the truth and shame the devil. Shame the devil. There was a big pause there. So, you know, we're trying to help some folks around here. Please go right ahead.
So, you know, there's personal experience. There's a professional experience with it, right?
You can share both. We have time.
So, you know, moving to D.C. was a pretty big culture shock for me when I moved from New York to D.C.
Yeah, because people in New York are so much nicer than they are.
No, I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to say that. But coming down here, there's a different way of approaching, and especially when I was going to school on this campus. So those types of rejections, I experienced those down here more than I experienced those in New York. So coming out of of New York where it's like, move on because we know that there's some other fly chick coming along the way. I'm not going to be worried about you. Mm-hmm. To down here, to these, to sometimes down here, the explosive kind of response, I really did have to learn how to be like, you know, thank you for approaching me, but I'm, you know, I'm in something, or I'm not interested, or so it's a polite rejection, not aggressive. You, I'm not interested in you. Like, mm-hmm. you're scrub. Right? Like, not that energy, but let the other person know I see you. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's usually what's happening for that other person. They feel like unseen. Right. There are other thoughts that they're having about themselves. So I see you and mm-hmm. thank you for even approaching me and thinking like that, but I'm not there right now. I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's a gentler kind of, not right now. Right now is not a good time.
That sounds acceptable. That's fair. Totally. I mean, and you know, what's the old Ozzy Butler song? Let Me Down Easy. Right. Or whatever. You know, so yeah, that works. But now professionally, mm-hmm. Is it more stern, or is there a psychology behind the rejection, the let me down easy?
Well, you know, I put a little bit of that in there in terms of, remember, this is another human being, mm-hmm. right? And another human being is coming with their own baggage, their own past experiences, their own meanings to what this particular letdown means for them. So if you are meeting human to human, how would you want to be let down, or how would you want to be treated upon first meeting? So the psychology behind it is really assume similarity. Assume that the other person might have some similar insecurities, some similar worries and concerns that might lead them to act or respond in an immature way, like you just mentioned, mm-hmm. Reggie, mm-hmm. or even just not have the emotional
intelligence
like right. we talked about earlier, absolutely. Right? So know that that might happen. So that when you're approaching them, you approach them with that gentle humanness and not rough, dismissive. Dismissiveness will have somebody feel defensive any day, all day.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about handling rejection in the dating space. How do you do it? Do you do it well? Or does it put you in a space where you are wholly uncomfortable? How do you deal with rejection? How do you reject someone that you are not particularly interested in? Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The experts are in, and they definitely have something to say. So what about the thing that has been going on now for several years, but still I think is really kind of problematic for a lot of people, Reggie, and that is ghosting.
Yeah.
What can we talk about the whole ghosting, you know, phenomenon and why this happens? Is it easier? Certainly, I think it's rude.
Right.
But what's going on with that?
So, actually, I cover this in my book as well, Love Relationships and Sometimes Just Letting Go.
Hey.
There is a, and seriously, it's a thing that people do, and it's rude, it's impolite. And my thing is, my thought is, if you thought enough of the person to share time at some point, and then all of a sudden you changed your mind for whatever the reason, there was a shift in you, then communicate that. I don't know what's in the minds of others, but I would imagine that there's maybe a fear or cause of concern for confrontation. I don't want it to be, because a lot of people avoid it. You know, it's an avoidant action than to just say, hey, listen, honestly, you know what? You're a great person, but I've been data gathering. You know, I've been paying attention to some things about you, and I hope that you've been doing the same with me. I don't know that our goals are aligned. I don't know if our desires, our long-term plans, or what have you. And for that reason, I think we should probably take a step back. It's about having a conversation. And I think the challenge is, obviously it requires courage.
And communication skills.
And communication skills. Exactly. And so, and a lot of people lack that. But it's interesting, they're okay with the, hey, how you doing, an initial meet, but then it becomes a thing of, I need to, I don't know, she'll figure it out, or he'll figure it out, right? If I don't respond to him, or she doesn't respond to me, then, you know, he'll figure it out, she'll figure. And I just think, God, can we be adults, you know? We're ready to say we are grown, fill in the blank man, grown, fill in the blank woman, but yet our actions belie our words. Anyway.
Yeah. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about rejection in the dating space. How do you handle it? Do you handle it poorly? Do you handle it well? Are you ghosting people? How do you reject people? Let's go to Ciotic. Calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead.
Good. I was saying, when it comes to rejection, it depends on how some people are raised. It's a lack of immaturity. They're just not confident within themselves. When they ghost people, they're just not confident within themselves. So when they approach people and they're getting rejected, they're not expecting what, you know, the rejection. They're expecting like, oh, high expectation, this person going to come to me. You're probably just not that person's type, or they're just getting out of a relationship, or they just don't know how to handle the dating thing. It's like a whole lot of reasons, or something that they're lacking at and they're not expecting. So that's why they're just rude and nasty, and it's not right.
Okay, Ciotic, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lawson, calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Lawson, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, good evening, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
What's on my mind is the fact that as a culture, we have to go back to building our self-esteem in individuals, and also, as parents, we got to show our young men how to love and respect our sisters on a level that you would do your mother, your grandmother, your daughter. Because I always was taught, if a beautiful woman say no, it's no. And at the same time, appreciate it and still compliment and move on. Because you never know when somebody's going to say yes. So if you always stay positive on how you approach and you deal with individuals, like if a sister coming down the street and she has some beautiful eyes, you give her a compliment, and if she want to talk, she don't want to talk, you keep it moving, because you never want to put somebody's daughter or another human being down just because they told you no. Mm-hmm. You don't know when you're going to meet them again, at church, in a job interview, anywhere. But they'll always remember how you treat them in the response. Oh, well, I remember I had a bad day, and this young man gave me a beautiful compliment and made me feel better. You know? So we as men, I put the responsibility on us as first dealing with us, because I have seen other cultures say polite things to our women, even though they would be turned down, they would still give them another polite comment in the midst of being turned down.
Yeah. Well, I think Lawson, I think that is a very, very good attitude and a good way to pursue it. And I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much. What about that, Carol Ann, where some people, like Lawson said, they really need to work on their self-esteem. And as you said, the reality is that, yeah, there may be many more fish in the sea, but if your bait isn't right, you're not going to get any nibbles on your hook.
Mm-hmm. I would say that self-esteem is definitely a big part of the dating process, because that speaks to your mindset when you go in. It helps you to not take too many things personally. It helps you to be able to assess a situation better in terms of, this might be a good person, but is this a good person for me? so that you can do a whole vetting process. So the whole getting your self-esteem together, building yourself up so that you can actually know how to assess the people that you're going to be dating is important.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I find, you know, interesting, and this is, you know, certainly for both of you, but I'll ask you this first, Carol Ann. A lot of people in the rejection process said, well, you know, I don't think that you and I are a good fit, but we can be friends. And a lot of people say, I don't need any more friends.
It's true.
Please, you want to go first?
Yeah.
So, no, it's true. You know, like, if that's not necessarily what you're looking for, and you went in and you have stronger feelings for this person than they do for you, friendship might not be the next step for you. You might actually need some distance for that. But for some people, that's actually an okay step to take to be friends. But go ahead, Reggie.
Yeah, if you are, it depends on where you are in the process, right? Depends on where you are in the process. If you are just meeting someone and they say, hey, you know, you may have gone out a date or two, and it's kind of like, oh, I think we should just be friends. Well, I don't, you know, need any more friends. Well, the thing is, I think it's really about, it's an inside job. You have to respect the person's choice. Mm-hmm. It is not so much what you want, and it's not about an imposition. It really is listening to understand and allowing what you hear to inform your response and or reaction. But you first have to have a baseline, right? And so self-esteem, self-image, how you see yourself. When you approach someone, if they're not interested, it's okay. That's their choice. Ask yourself a question. Would you rather they mislead you? Mm-hmm. Or save you time and allow you to go on your way.
Absolutely.
That's a good one.
Absolutely.
We've got a whole list of people who want to talk to us tonight. Mari calling from D.C. Tish calling from D.C. Patterson calling from Baltimore. Please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and we will take your calls after the break. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Keep trying. We are taking your phone calls all the way up until about 8 o'clock or so. We're talking about rejection in the dating space. Why do some people do it so poorly, and how do you do it? And I'm also going to ask about women and rejection. How do they handle it? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This discussion continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about rejection in the dating space. How do you handle it? My guests are Carol Ann Trotman, psychotherapist with Relationship Boosters, and relationship coach Reggie Smith. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Patterson calling from Baltimore. Go right ahead, Patterson.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. All the callers had so many positive things to say. And I think one thing we actually left out when it came to ghosting seems to be a big part of when you meet people. Granted, like they said, everybody's not meant to be together. Everybody doesn't click. And everybody's looking for different things. But I think texting a person and saying, hey, I'm not interested, I think that falls under ghosting, or you just don't have good communication skills.
No, I think that falls under high school. That is, Patterson, what the hey, man?
They're avoiding confrontation.
Yeah, is that what it is, that they are avoiding confrontation?
Yeah. Well, so, cuz then it could block.
So. Perceived. It's cuz you really don't know until you have a conversation, right? Until you ask a question. And I think the challenge is we create a narrative, or we tell ourselves or convince ourselves or whatsoever, and that becomes a hindrance becomes an action, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. That's where you get a ghost, because if I think you're going to respond in a certain way, however I got there, mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. I'm not going to act or do because I think it's not going to be well received or received mm-hmm. at all. So I think if we can overcome our thoughts, those are called saboteurs, by the way. Your sages are your champions. That's what keeps you going forward and believing that it's going to be okay, regardless of what the answer is, because the answer is the answer. But saboteurs sabotage, right? And prevent you from doing what it is you need to, not just in dating, but quite frankly, in your life's endeavors.
Patterson, thank you so much for that. Let me go to Mari. Mari, calling from D.C. Did I get the name right? Mari, are you there?
Mr. Fisher.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Fisher, thanks for having me on the program.
Sure.
I think Ms. Carol and Mr. Reggie both hit on the head. It's really about immaturity. And just to give you context, I mean, I'm 24 years old. I feel as though I was raised the right way with integrity and, you know, the whole nine. But it's ultimately about having that maturity and self-esteem. I mean, if a woman, you approach a woman and she's not interested, hey, give a compliment, keep it pushing, and, you know, take from it what you get. You know, it's really about it. But I think nowadays we have come to a crossroads where we're trying to, I don't know, everyone's stuck in their individuality, and sometimes when you get stuck up in that, you lose respect for the other person. You know what I mean? And so I just feel like that's where the problem with rejection is. It's really not a big deal, man, you know? But that's really what I have to say on it.
Well, thank you so much, Mari. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tish, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tish. What's on your mind?
Okay, yeah. It just seems like dating is has changed since the online dating apps have come to be. People are, putting on these images online, and then when you meet up with the person, they don't even look the same. So dating has changed so drastically that I think when you meet somebody at work or you meet somebody at church, you know, the true old-fashioned connection with physically seeing someone and experiencing, you know, dealing with them daily or seeing them weekly, and seeing how they behave and act, because you meet somebody and then you find out, you know, they're not who you thought they were. People pretend a lot. People put on these images or they're someone else. Until you actually spend years of being around them, do you really see who they really are?
So with that said, Tish, because we know that happens with the advent of
on the rejection piece.
Yeah.
Some people don't. When you don't show interest, you don't spend time. When you start giving a person a time, then you show interest. You can meet people, you friends, you spend time together, but there's no chemistry. But that person might want more from you than you want from them. So if it doesn't happen naturally, you know, and sometimes it's hard to get out of it. So and when you don't give them the time, then they know, hey, I don't think you're interested. Okay. And then it eases its way, you end up not connecting. So it's easier to just let nature takes its course to where you don't have to really say anything to hurt a person's feelings, because if you don't get them the time, then they know you're not interested.
But hold on, yeah. Hold on. I disagree with that. You let nature take its course, Carol Ann. Yeah, and
why? If you're not chemistry, if you don't have chemistry with people these days in the 2023, sometimes you have to. Who has really time to grow on a person?
Yeah, but hold on. Hold on, Tish. Hold on. You said if you don't have chemistry with someone, but maybe the person has chemistry with you, and so that, you know, because you're just all that in a bag of chips, and it's love at first sight. I mean, man, I just met Tish, and the voice, the eyes, the walk, and she can cook, because she invited me over, and she was able to make, you know, the green bean casserole that I like. And you were saying to your girlfriends, yeah, Johnny's all right, but I'm not. So the question is, how do you tell Johnny that he's not Johnny on the spot when you can already tell that he's growing on you like mold?
No, he's attracted to the person.
But you can't tell. Tish, you cannot tell him how he feels. You can't do that. And how do you tell him?
I mean, it's happened to me before. What ends up happening, I end up saying, "Oh, you know, you like my brother." And we
friend zoned. Friend zoned.
You're like family. Oh my God. I mean, you have to still continue the relationship even if they don't get what they want from you. I have done that and it works.
Okay. All right, Tish.
No, come over. You fix stuff for me. We spend time together. We exchange gifts during the holidays.
Okay, hold on, Tish. My guests have something for you and the green bean casserole. Please go right
ahead. Yeah, Tish, I just want to say, let me share this with you about men. Humans in general, men and women do it, but please understand that if you sell a man, you're like a brother, and he hears you and he says, hey, that's cool, and he's willing to, in that moment, in that posture, accept what he can get. But he's hopeful. He figures the more time you guys spend and you share, that you're going to see how wonderful he is. And I promise you, even if he hasn't made an advancement of any kind, it's he's not gone away. He's just gone dormant. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference.
Yeah. My grandmother used to call it slow walking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely saying a holding pattern. I think on the women's side, it's willing to be in a situationship, willing to do friends with benefits kind of things because they're just waiting, hoping that you see them. So, you know, it's a holding pattern.
And the problem is, you know, it's hard to get elevated from a position when a person never saw you that way in the first. Mm-hmm. If they came to you in a space of, we're just hanging out, right? I'm not looking for anything, you're not looking for anything. And that's what we both said. Now, when that shifts for people, now it's like, well, we still reserve the right to come back to the table and have that conversation, but that doesn't mean because you do, it's gonna be received well, right? So now you may, again, you're back to the possibility of real and or perceived rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Are they rejecting you? Or are they just being honest with you?
Right.
And because you don't, it's not what you want to hear, you perceive it as rejection versus honesty.
But isn't that six of one, half dozen of the other?
I think it's how you think about it, quite frankly.
I mean, if he wants Tish to say yes, mm-hmm. and Tish says no, is she being honest or is she rejecting him? It's one and the same.
I think it's both and, not either or.
Okay.
Because if you have a person who says, this is not what I want, and that's their truth, then that is the truth. Mm-hmm. The hearer has an opportunity to accept that as a truth or perceive it as rejection. Mm-hmm. We all get to choose. And in all of this, in each of these exercises and exchanges and interactions, we all have choice. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, we forfeit our choice and we retreat and process it as victim, rejection, what's wrong with me, you're not all that, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Create this whole thing inside of you that person hasn't said a word other than no thank you.
Yeah. Well, Tish, thank you so much. Be careful of the friend zones, air kisses, and side hugs. But thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Carol Ann.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about how the tables have turned in the modern dating space, where we now see women who are becoming more assertive. They are asking guys out. They are making the first move. How are they handling the rejection when he says no? And to that point, are the women who are more assertive, are they so confident that they are able to take rejection better than perhaps men?
So this change in the game with the ladies being more, I guess, forward assertive about what they want or what they're looking for or letting somebody know that they're there, those women that I come across are a little bit more open to maybe getting a no. it's the ones that maybe that was their first time putting themselves out there, and then now they got to deal with that wasn't what they expected. They just expected that they knew what they were going for, and obviously that person is going to see who they are, right, and take them on. But most of the ones that have played that, like that's their consistent thing to do, and they have a certain set level of self-confidence, they're okay with that because they might see that more as an opportunity or even protection. Okay, well, maybe that wasn't the person for me, and there's more people out there. I think the bigger shift, though, is this online and the way that it plays out online with online dating.
Explain that. What do you mean?
So the online dating game, I think, is very much like a, it comes across as a meat market, right? And if you're not prepared for the numbers, if you're not prepared for the quick dismissals even, you might take that personally because it's a bigger pool than just going to your grocery store or going to your church, like Tish was mentioning, right? It's a bigger pool of people that have access to, well, not necessarily to you, but to your profile, and you have access to their profile. So if it's a numbers game, yeah, there are going to be more people that you don't match with, like, you know, logically. There are going to be more people that you don't match with. But if you're not prepared for that, you might see that as something's wrong with me. Why am I not meeting people? Or why am I not having a date every day with this many people that are showing interest? I think online dating, it requires a particular type of mindset.
How do you prepare yourself? How would you recommend that women prepare themselves for that numbers game in, for example, the online dating space?
Well, the internal work needs to be there and done, like on your mindset and how you're gonna navigate some of those things. Also, when you're going online, you still have to have preferences. You don't just have it wide open where you're just taking anybody. Really pay attention. They give you lists of things to choose so that you can have a match that seems to be more aligned with you. So don't pick a casual person if that's not really what you're into. Don't pick somebody that's just looking for friends or have a preference open for that if that's not really what you're hoping for or looking for, right? But I would say also go into the dating space with the mindset of fun, with the mindset of getting to know yourself and another person.
Reggie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think when you're meeting anyone, quite frankly, if it's online, if that's what you're doing, or you're meeting people out and about, churches, grocery stores, dry cleaners, parks, dog parks, what have you.
I think the dry cleaners.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. You know, people back
in the dog parks.
Yeah, but no, sincerely, I think it's, you know, it's a couple things, right? So you may find someone attractive, but that doesn't mean you're going to be attracted to them,
absolutely,
right? And it's chemistry is awesome, and we all desire it. But I think it's as well a consideration is compatibility. Mm-hmm. And if we can be true to ourselves, that inside work, that inside job, and do the work for ourselves, we're going to be better able to vet more efficiently and more succinctly the people we come in contact with, because we're going to be able to filter, this is not a good fit. And it's not about rejection. Hey, sir, ma'am, thank you. All the best to you. But I realize that where we are is not aligned.
See, I still think that's still rejection. I mean, you can be as communicative as you want to be.
Sure.
But the bottom line is you ain't it.
But here's the thing, though. We can't control, like you said to the lady who called, you can't tell a person how to feel.
That's true. Right? So but you can also tell that person how you're feeling, or in her case, not feeling.
For sure. But the part that I want to draw attention to is we don't know how someone's going to hear it and receive it, right? We're being honest. That person can process that honesty as rejection. Versus, and they also, that's a choice. They can also choose to process our response as, thank you for not wasting my time. I appreciate you being honest with me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's how you think about it.
Okay. I like that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jay, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Jay. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Thanks so much for you and your staff.
Sure.
For taking my call. And Mr. Sean Plater is a very good buddy of mine.
So okay.
Tell him about this.
That's our general manager, so now I have to be careful exactly what I say. Right. Please go right ahead, Jay. <How about that?
laughs> Yeah, you touched on it earlier, and I appreciate what my man on the panelist. I didn't get his name because
Reggie Smith,
later.
But go ahead.
Okay, Brother Smith. Thank you, sir. Mr. Smith. You know, I'll put it this way. They are, in terms of this rejection and honesty, when it comes out that way, they're just being they're honestly rejecting that person. So I like the whole six in one hand, half a dozen in another. Now, of course, the other piece of it is it's all in how, not only how that person on the ending, on the receiving end, does take it, but also how they react to it. And so that also, I guess, can show, and, you know, really, also, in a sort of a way of speaking, leave open opportunities for the maybe the relationship, maybe later on, and maybe whoever was the one to break up and say, you know, this is not working. They may try others and then come back and say, you know what, though, that brother or that sister that I met with before, you know what, there was some energy there. So, and they'll think back to how they took your, I guess, your honest rejection. And
Jay is not going to let you live that down. See, Jay is with me.
He's with you,
your honest rejection. That's the other side of the coin. That six of one, half dozen of the other. That's push me, pull you. That's the whole thing.
Absolutely,
Jay. Jay, I am with you. I am with you on that. Thank you so much. I
appreciate you. You're a good man. Bless you, sir.
All right. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about dealing with rejection in the dating space. How do you do it? How do you receive it?
And the
honest rejection. and how do you move on? So when you are talking with the people that you are counseling, you know, Carol Ann, what seems to be the biggest concern for women, for example, in the dating space? Where are they having the biggest challenges, whether it has to do with, you know, rejection or getting into it? What are they telling you?
I would say the biggest challenges are really around people getting outside, like getting out of their head and actually getting into the dating world, because they're already sitting with all these thoughts.
Such as?
Fears of the rejection. Fears of, you know, maybe liking somebody more than the other person likes them. And how do you deal with that? Trust issues. They're already sitting with so many thoughts. So I would say the biggest challenge is getting people's minds reset and reframed for, like, this word rejection in itself comes with a whole negative connotation, right? So in your mind, you're already taking it in a negative way, versus this might be, like I mentioned earlier, some level of protection, or this is just an opportunity for you to see things for what it is and give and accept the other person for where they're at and who they are, so that they don't waste their time and you don't waste your time.
Right. Well, you know, they do have to get out, because UPS doesn't deliver boyfriends.
I was going to say something. I was going to be totally inappropriate.
think about it. Yeah, they don't deliver real boyfriends. How about that? Wow. They don't deliver real boyfriends, blood, flesh and blood boyfriends. How about that? You know,
because my background is sexology, so I think.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a moment, because sometimes compatibility and the rejection comes the morning after. Okay. And don't look like you don't know what I'm talking about, Reggie. You should, Reggie just looked up at the ceiling like, whatever do you mean? He could be polite. Mm-hmm. He could love his mother. He could pay his child support. He could do all of these other things that you would expect in a partner. But then, you know, the morning after, you're like, So how do you, and this is, you know, all jokes aside, that, Carol Ann, is a very, very real thing. After some time together intimately, you may say, you got it now, Reggie? Yeah, there you go. that it's not going to work. How do you deal with that? How do you coach or counsel a woman if she is not satisfied physically with someone that she is just starting to get to know? And certainly physical sexual intimacy is very important for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So if this person is getting rejected, or she's rejecting him because of the first intimate contact, sexually intimate contact, I'm usually talking to people about, there are a whole lot of things that go into the first time. They don't know you, your body. You don't know their body very well. And sometimes it takes a little bit of practice. So it requires a certain level of openness. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to end up being a pretty superficial judge, because he can be great. He could know how to sling it day one. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be a good person for you. But what that will cause is that oxytocin bonding from having really good sex that makes you think that this is...
That you are connected.
Yes.
Oh, and then there could be other problems.
Absolutely.
Reggie, now that you know what we're talking about.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. And now, obviously, I'm a man, and so I don't... I don't know. I've had a couple of women talk to me about this with men that they were seeing.
Mm-hmm.
To your point about, there's certain things that they recognize up front that are deal breakers, right? That they just can't get beyond.
Such as?
Such as they can't get beyond.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And so my contention has been, as I said earlier, if you are sharing that type of time with someone, especially intimacy, physical intimacy, it may not be emotional intimacy initially, because all you have is that initial lustful draw, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I still contend that that person is worthy of a conversation. They deserve that. If you, hey, listen, I was drunk. It was a wild night. I was having fun, whatever. Okay, cool. Just deliver that. If you chose to share yourself with that person, you're telling me now they're not worth the conversation? Yeah, that's problematic.
But you know what? People will have sex before they will even have a conversation. That communication piece, that conversation portion is really, really hard, especially when you're talking about sex.
Right.
It's easier to do than it is to say, I like that, I didn't like that. And sometimes people don't always know.
I get it. But again, I think that there's a responsibility, and probably that's a word we should attach to this as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a responsibility. If you're big enough, grown enough to go do the thing, then be responsible enough to have a conversation. You know, because and less about, you know, how would you want to be treated? Because that's really a poor question. You know, how would you feel if I did this to you? That's a really bad question, just for a second. The reason I think that that's such a bad question for any of us, because how many times have someone said, how would you feel if I did that to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason it's a bad question is because we don't all value the same thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So what you really want to understand is, do you care about me? Mm-hmm. Do I matter to you? Do we matter to you? And if those are all yes answers, then the real question is this. Please don't do that again.
Yeah.
Because that bothers me. That concerns me. And so if you care about me, then now I want you to focus on me, because if I ask you how you feel about it, now I've taken attention off of me and put it onto you.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know if you care about me, care about us, and if that's true, then please don't do that. Now you're focused on what matters, and that's what offended me.
Mm-hmm. Or you could say, next time, or if there's going to be a next time, you say, can you move to the left next time? You know, but the... You know,
It's true.
But here's the other thing, and we're running out of time. But I think this is probably the most important question about rejection, whether it is because there's no sexual chemistry, or she curses too much, or he doesn't curse at all, or he likes Italian and she likes to cook at home, or he likes movies and she likes plays. If there is a rejection, Carolyn, and I'll start with you, do you want to know why?
Yeah. Do most people want to know why? What's that movie that you can't handle the truth?
Right. Exactly.
A Few Good Men.
Yeah, A Few Good Men. Yeah.
I think they want to know why, but can they handle the why? Is their ego strong enough? Like, are you strong enough to handle that?
And do you really tell them, or do you just say, well, I don't think we're compatible, Reggie?
Right.
Or you tell them, no, because you didn't move to the left, right, or because you didn't hold the door for her, mm-hmm, or do you, because the first thing I would imagine is someone would say, well, I can fix that.
Yeah. I think, so you got to ask yourself a question. Is the thing that gives you pause, is it something that can be worked on, improved upon, or is it something that is just, that's who that person innately is? And I think you have to get clear on what the thing is that bothers you, right? Because there may be something that you can coach someone up on and guide them through, but there may be something that's just, you may want to, you can't wish your person to be taller. You can't wish your person to be smaller, or whatever your physical desires are. I think it's not easy. Here's the thing. These types of conversations, can we just be honest? They're not comfortable. They're not convenient. They're not fun. But what they are is necessary. Mm-hmm. And I think as adults, again, back to a responsibility, we should be more responsible and have those honest conversations that are necessary. Because it's not about it was fun getting into it. It was comfortable getting into it. It was convenient getting into it. Now let's be responsible when we want to get out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carolyn, do you have a final word?
How can somebody make a change if they don't even know what needs to be changed? So just mentioning, like, hey, you know, last night I would have really preferred this kind of touch, can we do that, mm-hmm, next time? So you can really get some insight into if they are going to do something different, right, willing to put in the time, or is there something innately, like, they're going to be stubborn and that, nah.
Yeah. Could be touch or tone.
True.
All of those things. Look, Carolyn Trotman, Reggie Smith, thank you both for talking to us. Absolutely. I really appreciate it. Great way to go into the weekend.
Indeed.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, April 14th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Malek Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.